Hi everybody, it's Ian. Just to let you know, you should definitely watch Bloody Nose, Empty Pockets before listening to this podcast, as it will ruin it for you. Yeah, so even one, check out the show notes to find out what you can watch it. But on with the show. Hello and welcome to Dot Dot Doc. I'm Ian, your host, and this week I'm joined by Matt. Hello.
Hello.
That was a delayed hello. This week we're going to be talking about Bloody Nose, Empty Pockets, a 2020 documentary by Bill Ross IV and Turner Ross. It's the Ross brothers, which we're going to refer to them as the Ross brothers the rest of this podcast. Matt, what did you think of this? Although, before we go into this anymore, I told Matt not to look up anything about this since, so I'm the only person who kind of has looked into everything that's happened since, and I was just interested to see what he thought. Okay. Matt, what do you think?
What do I think of the documentary as a whole? Or
yeah,
I really enjoyed it, I definitely have some questions about the documentary itself. Like, it's really strange. Like, it's fantastic. Like, I really enjoyed the kind of almost like fly on the wall aspect of it. It felt very fly on the wall at times, but at other times it almost feels too good to be true. I know you've seen it, like Horace and Pete, like the show Horace and Pete. It gave me massive Horace and Pete vibes at times, like just the different conversations people are having in that bar, which kind of drew me in even more because like I loved Horace and Pete for that whole aspect of it. I loved this for that. It was just different generations of people having different conversations. But yeah, it was like at times it felt like a fly on the wall documentary. At other times it just, I don't want to say it doesn't feel real, but it just, there's something too
off.
Good about it.
Yeah.
There's something too good about it. Like, and I don't know, even sometimes when there's certain bits within the documentary where you would think that like, a person wouldn't want the camera on them or would be more aware that the camera was on them, but it felt like if it is a genuine 100% documentary, then it felt like these guys who made the documentary knew these guys before, maybe, or like there's some kind of like they've already built up a relationship. They're not scared of the camera. Like, it doesn't feel like a camera crew has just gone in there that day and filmed. Like, it doesn't feel like that with random people. Like, I can't explain it. Like, it almost, not staged. I don't even know. Like, because it doesn't feel staged, but it just doesn't feel 100% genuine. But that's not taking anything away from the documentary, because I absolutely fucking loved it. Like, but there's something just a bit off about it. I can't put my finger on exactly what that is.
You mean it kind of feels like the camera person is almost like invisible, or the camera team is almost invisible because nobody reacts to the camera ever. Like, and it's, there's really rare occasions where they kind of spike the lens, you know, like look down the camera. It's kind of just too good. You know what I mean?
Almost like, not in the same vein, but you know how certain TV shows do this kind of documentary aspect, like The Office, let's say. It's certain, like there's certain shots and certain bits that just remind me of that quite a lot. But yeah. I wouldn't say it, at the same time, it doesn't look like someone's paid all these guys and given them a script and they're reading off a script. It doesn't feel like that. It feels almost ad-libbed. Like, again, like kind of very Horace and Pete, a lot of that was ad lib. But yeah, there's just something, there's a sort of tinge to it that just sort of draws away from the realness, from reality of it. Like, there's something. It's very hard to put my finger on.
Yeah, what was the first occasion in the doc that made you kind of feel like, oh, something was off?
I'd say from the first, within the first sort of 20 minutes to half hour, I was very much sold on this is a fly on the wall documentary. But somewhere after that, and it's just certain things,
I can predict what you're gonna like. Actually, you say it, and then like I'll tell you certain
things. It's like the camera's there just at the right time. I mean, there's also like kind of hilarity within it where I can't think of the guy's name. Like I say, we both watched it a few hours ago, and I've not looked anything up. I've not made notes, but there's a guy in there, and he's like obviously absolutely fucking wasted. And then there's a phone call, and he's like, "You're supposed to be at work."
And Ira. I was just like, "What?" I think his name was Ira. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He's like collapsed on the bar, kind of. He's hiding out in the toilet or something, and they're like, "You can't just hide out here."
They're like, "We'll call you a cab." but yeah, there's certain parts, and I suppose as well, maybe one part that I thought, "Oh, maybe this isn't as, maybe it isn't." I don't like saying it's not real because it does feel real, but it doesn't. It's very, very. There's a fine line somewhere there. Like it's kind of teetering on the edge of real and not real. It's very difficult to explain, but where like the bartender, the guy with a big beard,
I think his name was Mark. I think it was Mark.
Right.
Yeah.
And like he starts playing guitar and stuff like that. And I just thought, I mean, again, it's Las Vegas. So maybe in bars in Vegas, they do that a lot. I don't know, but I've never been in a bar where the bartender just pulls out a guitar, starts, you know, jamming a song out and everyone sing along. But at the same time, I looked at this bar and I was like, I would love to go there. Like, what an incredible place. Like,
it had the kind of perfect dive bar.
Like, another thing, vibe, big time, big time. Yeah. It was just like, if that was my local, I'd want to be in there. Like, 100%. Like, just seemed like everyone kind of got along. There's maybe one moment within it where maybe a few people don't get along, but it's probably more down to alcohol consumption. But yeah, like, put it this way, right? If someone had if I didn't know this was a documentary, and someone was like, "Oh, Matt, like, there's this great new film, you know, it's kind of a bit like," so I don't know, you could say it's a bit like Clerks or something like that, where it's like, you know, tries to look as real and genuine as possible. I would quite easily assume that that was a movie and not a documentary at the same time. Although it doesn't feel like they're acting, there's something about it that just, it feels so good that it's like, how would you capture that? Like, that's like what you found that bar on its very last night. You capture all these like kind of, like out of this world kind of personalities in this one place on this one night. It's just, it's lightning in the bottle.
Yeah, the last night's supposedly open, right?
So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I hope you're sitting down because I'm about to shatter some reality.
What you got?
Okay. So, this bar is supposedly set on the outskirts of Las Vegas, and it's like a dive bar, and it's the last day it's open, and you know, it's the regulars saying goodbye to the place, and it's kind of like that's the premise of the doc. But in reality, it's not actually set in Las Vegas whatsoever. It's in New Orleans.
Oh wow!
The bar is from in New Orleans.
Hang on, why are they saying it's in Vegas? What's the deal there?
Well, because they say that that place is kind of the people who made it said it's integral to the overall thing of it. Which let me carry on because there's like a whole bunch more. And basically, it's not scripted, but it is staged. So it's basically the people who made the documentary slash film, like a docu-film kind of thing, basically they went around all these dive bars and found like a bunch of people who were like the kind of the perfect people to have in these bar, like, you know, a dive bar. They found the old veteran. They found that old like loud lady who just, you know, is shouting constantly. They find the failed actor. They find the musician in that, and they basically got them all, and they basically told them act like this. Well, not act. They just said like, let's pretend that this is the last day this place is open, and that's it. They filmed that for like 18 hours,
but that's insane because like, although it doesn't though, like,
I mean, some people there did know each other because they said it was like 2/3 of the people like were just people they found like from bars, and they also said that some people who they recruited like got two. Like, oh, that's it. Another thing, all the alcohol and all the drugs are real in it.
Oh, so sweet.
So nice. They just filmed the chaos as it went on. And it's interesting because like technically it's, I don't know, could you class it as a documentary? Could you, like, I mean, a lot of people, because I've looked online and there's a lot of people kind of walking the line because it's real in a sense. Mm-hmm. Like, basically, all the people are just getting fucked up and, you know, living it and, like, pretending that, they, you know, this is the last night it's open. And
so, in a way, the documentary makers have gone, hey, like, they've gone around to bars and they've gone, hey, we're throwing a party at our own bar that we've made, and it's the last night that this bar will ever be open. You're invited to the party. There's real alcohol. There's real drugs. Do you want to come? Like, you're not going to say no to that. And like, that's what I mean though. Like, some of them must have known each other because there's impressive chemistry between a lot of them characters. Really impressive chemistry.
Yeah, honestly, kind of, that's the thing. When I was watching it, the only thing, like, this is what I thought you was going to come up pull up on straight away, was I think as soon as it has Shay, who's the bartender who takes over from Mark, I think it was, like, her kid, as soon as the kids come into it, I thought, oh, this seems a bit too good to be true. Kind of, this kind of reminds me of, like, literally kids, like, the film, if you've ever seen that. It was just kind of crazy. Just that's the one thing I thought, it was the kids coming into it that made me, it took me out of it straight away, and it made me kind of question everything.
I get that, but at the same time, like, I kind of like that aspect because I looked at it as like, you've got like, because as like kind of the evening drew in, you found that there was like sort of young adults arriving at the bar. So like they'd just finished work. Whereas in the earlier part of the day, it was like your old school, you know, probably heavy drinkers that, you know, were kind of lifers in there. And I like that aspect of, you had like the eldest generation, and then you had like the sort of middle generation, and then the generation that was going to be next. Like, but they're not allowed in there. So they're sat outside in the alleyway smoking weed, laughing at what they can hear coming from the bar. Like, I kind of love that aspect of it. But at the same time, it does feel a little too good to be true. Like, that kind of makes it seem a bit more like a movie.
Well, I mean, that's it. So that's what's weird about it. So the directors always called it a film. They've always called it a film, and they do say there's a reality in it because you know, it's not scripted whatsoever. And they basically told the cast, look, you bring what you want to bring to it. You be the best version of yourself. Like, they obviously got chose as for a particular reason. You know, they all have their own kind of characteristics and stuff. And there's a couple of things that aren't exactly real in it. Like the actor, Michael, who's the main, literally one of the main guys in it. He's the one that the documentary follows pretty much almost.
He's like the centerpiece of the whole thing.
Yeah, he's unbelievable because just where he comes in, you assume he's like homeless or something, and he's like kind of shaving and he seems, you know, he has that shot. I love the symmetry between him having the shot like when he first comes in, like,
and then when he leaves at the end,
and it's kind of like sets him up for like another day. And you think, where's he going? He's got like all these bags and stuff. Maybe he's like going to a new audition or something for the rest of the day.
Isn't there a part in it where again, I can't think of his name, but the musician, is it the musician or the Australian guy, the one who's on acid during
I can't remember his name was. No.
There's a part where he says to Michael, like, because he's saying to Michael how the people in there are his family, because his family are pretty shitty. Like, so like these people are his family. And then Michael's explaining, we're not your family. You know, we're just people that you drink with in a bar. We're not your family. You have a home. And then I might not have caught it properly, but they start talking about a couch. So I wondered if Michael didn't have anywhere to go, like, and he needs a couch to stay on, like.
Yeah, I mean, because that's what I got from it as well, because he kind of just comes in off the streets, doesn't he? And there was is it Lowell, the guy who was wearing the, I think, beret towards the end, and he was like trying to see Pam, like, you know, I think he was ringing Pam, wasn't he, that woman who gets like carted off in the car, like
the guy through with a like proper hippie long gray hair. Mario, he's wearing that like bright yellow jumper and dungarees. He just reminds me of like someone from the Mario Brothers. His character, like, or him. I don't know.
Actually, they're all like real people. So their names are their real names. So but the Einstein guy, literally,
he's incredible, right? It's like, because there was part of me where I was like, because I was trying to suss it out whilst watching it, because, like I say, after about half an hour, it felt like, okay, there's something kind of askew here, there's something not quite right, like and I was trying to kind of dissect it a bit, and then when I saw the Einstein guy, it made me think of like Cheers, and obviously you've got Dr. Fraser Crane. And then it started making me think, are they making This Is Cheers but when they're all much older, which obviously it isn't, but that's the kind of thinking you get into whilst watching this, like, because I think most people that watch it would kind of realize after a bit of time that something's not quite right, like this doesn't feel 100% a documentary. But it leaves you guessing a lot, but it doesn't take away from the viewing. Like, I was drawn to it. Like, I didn't want to, like, usually, you know, I might press pause, go make a drink or something. Like, I didn't want to. Like, I was like, I love anything that's kind of dialogue based like that. And you can get to know all these different characters just from what they're talking about. Like, some real interesting characters as well. Like, I love anything like that. And yeah, even though at times I was like, something's not quite right with this as a documentary, it didn't spoil the viewing experience. Like, I thought it was really, really good. Like, I'm really glad I've watched it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it as well. I thought it was brilliant. I like, you know, the conversations. I mean, a few of them, I was like, I need to probably listen to that back again, because I couldn't, I didn't hear it right, because they like the noise in the bar and stuff. But I thought, you know, there's a lot. Was it the one thing that his name, Bruce, the veteran, he said, he kept on saying, what was it? A heap see, but a few know. Like, he constantly kept on saying that, didn't he? Like, and I thought that was, an interesting line. And that's another thing that he, I don't know if you realize that it's set the day after Trump gets voted in.
Yeah, I thought that was it, because you saw, like, that's another kind of thing within, I'm still going to call it a documentary, within the documentary, like, it cuts to the TV screen quite a few times, and sometimes it's silent and you just see the picture and maybe a bit of writing on the TV screen, but then other times you'll get like a dialogue with what's ever going on. And there was quite a few moments where it seemed like they were talking about elections, and then also some of the characters start speaking, and there's definitely a part in there where someone's talking about Trump. I can't remember.
Yeah, Bruce. Exactly, I think it's said. Yeah, the veteran guy. He's like kind of saying he's either going to be impeached or assassinated.
Or shot.
Which is insane, because like I remember having conversations with my friends about that. Not so much impeachment, because I didn't really know what the hell that was back then, but.
I think like, most people thought he was probably going to get assassinated.
But I love it because so this is the thing. So the directors of it, apparently the way they done it was they would have, you know, they could just talk about whatever they want, and they would just follow and film and stuff. But if they kind of got too held up on a particular subject, they would say, all right, guys, it's time to move on from this subject, like move on to something else. So, I mean, as...
So it's like real, but it's kind of real with direction.
I read one article that kind of described it as almost like, you know, that reality TV, kind of like, you know, the UK TV shows like Made in Chelsea and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
where
yeah.
It's like a reality, but they haven't given any, but they didn't tell any prompts apart from like, can you like move on to a different, you know, because you can't keep them talking about like the election, the whole film. And they said that, So it was like they filmed for like 18 hours and they cut it down to like 90 minutes. So
do you know what's kind of great with that as well is, especially if like the alcohol was real and they were allowed to drink like, you know, I guess copious amounts of it. Like it's interesting as well, even more so from the beginning, like where, you know, they may have had like a couple of drinks, more towards the end where they've probably had a lot more, which probably then sort of breaks down barriers even more, which is probably why, like, yeah, some of them might have known each other, but even I guess the ones that didn't, like, once you've got a bit of alcohol in you, like, barriers are broken down, like, and you're more open to conversation. And because there were some deep conversations with some of them, like with again, I'm going to call him Super Mario guy, and the kind of loud lady, let's call
Pam.
Her the.
Oh yeah, Pam. Yeah.
All right, I was going to call her something else. the one with the 60-year-old, you know what's?
Yeah, tits. 60-year-old tits.
That was funny.
I don't know. That was crazy as well. Like,
those two. Oh, sorry, what? Sorry. No, so, not yeah, on the.
I just wanted to go in quickly before, like, there's, you know, the bit where she, like, falls down, collapses at one point. Like, that was real. Like, a lot of the things that happen in it. So basically, as soon as they get too fucked up, like, the people who are in it, they made sure that everybody had, like, a car to go home, and they would pay for, like, they would have some food for them and stuff to sober them up.
Okay. Question on that. I don't know if you've read up on it or not, but there's that guy and he's trying to start a fight, or he's getting a bit mouthy, isn't he? And he's trying to start a fight with a musician and Einstein, and is like, you know, I'll go outside, and then the musician's like, what, you'd fight an old man, like, you know, you'd really do that, like. And basically he ends up being told to leave, like, it's like, you can wait inside for a cab, I'll call you a cab, you can wait inside, or you can, you know, get outside and wait. And it's like, I'll go outside. So is that real? Was he really getting a bit leery?
I'm not too sure about that one. So like, yeah, I'm not familiar, but I feel like, you know, they got basically told, you know, to be their best selves, more or less, in that sense. Yeah. And like, if he...
And the thing is, that happens on nights out. Like, we've all seen it. Like, you know, it could be nicest person in the world, but, you know, with a few too many of the wrong kind of drink, they might just get that bit leery and just push things a bit too far.
Yeah, because the bearded guy did get a bit shitty towards
Yeah.
Like Michael, like, for a bit. Like, he basically said, like, you wasted your life and all that kind of stuff. And
yeah, it was quite mean. I'm sitting there watching it and I'm thinking, like, fuck off. Like, you know, piss off, mate. Go home. Like, it's that case of being out on a night out and being like, you know, you're there with a buddy and you're like, look, mate, you're too drunk. Like, time to calm down. Like,
The directors did say that they recruited, like, say, 2/3 of the people, like, from bars and stuff. And, like, you know, the other lot would have been people they would have known or grew up with and stuff. So maybe those people who were kind of trying to kick things off a little bit were people they knew to, you know, to drive along the plot of the documentary, if that makes any sense. Like,
question as well. Like, Michael, being as he was a previous actor, do you think that's the reason he was the centerpiece? Because he was almost like the glue that held it all together.
The thing is, he has gone on to do other things, like, as well. So it's not like he was a failed actor in real life. It was kind of just that he wanted to pretend. Say, oh, that was it. Like, where he said that he was great. He was glad that he was a failure before alcohol. Like, you know,
that was a brilliant line. I love that. Yeah. Towards the beginning as well.
Yeah, it was like a failure before. It's nothing worse than being like an alcoholic failure, because that's the worst kind.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was a brilliant line as well. That was
fantastic line. Yeah.
But I know that he was in Preacher, the TV series, or like as an extra, I think. I think he's been on like a couple other things. I'll post the links below. Like, I mean, I'll post these. Like, there's only like 3 people on IMDb out of this film. And one is that musician, that Pete guy. The other is Shay, the woman behind the bar, like towards the, you know, the last half of the shift. And the other one is Michael.
I liked her. That's the only she was 3 cool. People.
So all the others.
I liked Shay. I thought she was like, she was an interest, like, she is someone you could imagine running a bar. Like, she had that kind of friendly nature to her. I really liked her. I liked the original bar guy.
The I kind think he's of, great as well. He just,
yeah, yeah, like, he, like, the day that, shift like, guy.
Went to that guitar a few times, didn't he? So.
But he was cool. But he didn't. He felt genuine, but I'd say once that Shay came into it, I felt that Shay seemed like a more genuine, real kind of personality. Like, to me anyway, like, I could imagine being at a bar and seeing her at the bar, and she just felt like a real person. Like, whereas the other guy, he did to begin with, but I wouldn't say as much.
Yeah, I mean, you're saying maybe, like, he's a bit more kind of theatrical in terms of, like, it's...
Yeah, yeah, kind of like, maybe he hammed it up a little bit. Whereas with her, it felt real. Like, it felt like you could go into a bar and, like, she would be that kind of friendly, like, awesome, like, bar lady that you just, like, you're getting drunk, but you're just chatting, like, and she's... You know, the best bar people are like that. Like, they're people... people persons? That's not a thing. You know what I mean, though. Like, they're easy to get along with. And that's exactly what you want, like, from a bar person. Not saying that the other guy didn't seem easy to get along with. He did, but once she came into it, it felt more real. And I guess as well, maybe it was that, I don't know, it felt like, things kind of revved up a bit in the evening, as they do in bars. Like, more people are coming in. Like, so I guess the beginning's that kind of slow. It's more of the older people in there, just like sort of reminiscing and stuff like that. And then as the day goes on, like, sort of gets, I guess you'd call it like sort of after 5 o'clock, and then you get some more kind of young adults in there. And then, you know, I'd say by what, like 10, 11 o'clock, most people are pretty fucking drunk by this point. They're all having deep conversations. Even like that's what I was going to say, the Super Mario guy, And
I think it's Lowell.
Super Mario hippie guy.
Okay.
He's talking to the loud lady, Pam.
Yeah.
And they're getting really deep. Like, she's like, I think she says she lost her child and he lost his wife, and they're getting in deep conversation. And she was saying, I wasn't there for you, like you were there for me. And I was just like, wow, like that's when I was like, that can't be acted. There's got to be some truth to that. Like, I think it was good. Like, yeah, the whole thing.
Would you say this should be in the documentary category of the because it was on Sundance, it was in the documentary, like the US documentary category.
Yeah. I'd say yes. Like, I think it dances a fine line between documentary and film. But like, if I was complete like today, but
this is why I didn't want to tell you tomorrow. Yeah, this is why I told you not to look up anything, because I really wanted to hear your like genuine reaction to what you thought.
If I were to watch it tomorrow and you told me it was a documentary, I'd go into it like I did today and I'd believe it was a documentary, but I'd think something's just not quite right. If you'd have told me, if I was going to watch it for the first time tomorrow and you said, oh, this is a new film, I'd watch it and I would easily believe it was a film, like, at the same time. But yeah, even though I thought there was something askew with it, I still watched it as a documentary. I still viewed it as a documentary. And you know, you can get into like semantics about what is a documentary. And, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people that would say, well, that's not a documentary because there is some form of setup to it. So, yes, you could say that. But at the same time, like, I don't know, because then it's that whole, like you said, a lot of reality TV over here now. You know, if you think back to the first Big Brother,
yeah, like the outside is fake. Everything's fake around the set and stuff of it, but the people are genuine. Would you class Big Brother as a documentary? I guess
maybe the first one or the first two, I think.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Big Brother's a tough one to go on because its popularity meant that people then played up and, you know, well, I can win this if I play it a certain way. And it became more of a game show than a experiment, which initially is what it was, first series, or, you know, like, it was an experiment to see how people would react in this setting. So I guess you could even look at this and call it an experiment. I think it's difficult to call it or to judge it without there being a bit more information as to the direction and exactly what was said. Because I do now I know what I know, like, it does make me think, like I said earlier, I very much wonder if them having Michael there, who is an actor or was previously an actor, whatever the story, like, him being there and him being that centerpiece of the documentary does kind of glue everything together, like, because they're constantly coming back to him. And so maybe he was able to, like, use his expertise a bit to kind of put on a different kind of feel to things. Like, he's done acting, like, I guess, more than most of the others, so, you know, he can use his expertise and skills within that. I don't think that's a bad thing. Like, I thought he was a really, really genuinely interesting character, right? And I think he was the perfect centerpiece to this whole thing. Yeah, it's a tough call. Like, I'd like to call it a documentary. It's definitely something I'd watch again, because, like, I'd want to pay even more attention to certain parts of it. And I can imagine it being like, you know, like with, like you've always said, especially like American movie is a documentary that you can drink with your mates and you can sit there, have a laugh. I feel like this in the same vein could be.
Well, funny enough, you should say that because the directors want this to be that kind of film. Like they want people to like get drunk whilst watching it with, you know, friends, just watching. It's like meant to be a kind of a communal like docufilm. And yeah, like you're meant to just chill out, like watch what's going on, what's going on in the background and stuff. And it's kind of like almost you're there as well. Like there was, you know, like you can chain smoke through watching the whole thing and stuff as well. And it's just fun to, yeah, to watch. That's my dog in the background just barking away.
That's one thing I thought as well, because I mean, I don't know the kind of rules in America at the moment. But like when they were smoking in the bar and I was like, wow, like, is that still allowed in America? I guess it is. I'm not sure. Or maybe within certain states. I guess if it's supposedly, well, obviously not now that you've told me, but supposedly based in Vegas, I guess you can pretty much do anything there. And I suppose smoking's the least of their worries. There's people doing acid in there. So
well, it's not even that. Like where people say, you okay to drive after drinking? Like, that was insane about it. Like people, even the bar staff doing shots and stuff, and then just be like, yeah, I'm just going to go drive now. That's cool. Like,
it looks like the coolest bar. Like if that would be like, if that was a, you could look at it as, imagine, like, obviously, you know, because there's kind of, you watch it and you have this feeling of, like, something's just a bit awry here, something's not quite right. Like, if it was actually, like, Vegas's way of saying they have this new bar that's opening, and, like, that was the advertisement for it, you watch that and you instantly want to be there. So, like, if you ever go to Vegas, you're going to put that, like, on your to-do list, like, I will visit that bar, I will spend a night in that bar, and it would be amazing, like, absolutely amazing.
But would it be as amazing as, like, because let's imagine one of us walks into that bar and they all know each other, like, would it be the same? Would it be the same feeling, considering you're not part of that thing?
I think it would, because I think they all come across as the type of characters that wouldn't not include you. They come across as easygoing, talkative people, and they're all kind of almost a bit like, a lot of them are a bit like lost souls, and they're just all gathered in this place. And yeah, I don't think you'd go in there, and I don't think you'd be able to just sit in a corner quietly for very long, because I think somebody would come up to you. More than likely, Pam. More than likely, Pam would be in your ear at some point. But yeah, I think if that is, not if that is, I guess if it was a real place and all those people genuinely went there day in, day out, like, I think especially once they'd consumed enough alcohol, I think anyone would be their friend.
Yeah, so I looked into the bar, not the bar staff, the directors. The directors of the documentary, they basically, when they interviewed, they were going around trying to shoot these people, they would, like, ask them, what does a good bar mean to you? And, you know, and they just assembled, from what I feel about this is they've basically taken all the best parts of all the best dive bars and stuff and kind of just crammed it into one bar. And just because the packaging is fake, like, doesn't mean the experience inside is fake. If anything, I was in two minds after watching this. As soon as it kind of clicked halfway through that, I'm like, oh wait, there's something different about this. And then, like, it's basically since the kids were coming into it. As soon as they come into it, I kind of quickly had a look at my phone and I was like, oh shit, okay. And then I was kind of like watching it through a different lens midway through. I did. I was like, because I was just double, I don't know, it's one of these things. I kind of That's why I was like, oh, I need to definitely warn you about it. Don't look into it and stuff, because I feel like it would be, I really wanted to like hear the raw version of it. And
I hope that you put out in the notes or in our kind of promoting of putting this out there that we try and warn people to watch it before they listen to this, because
yeah I'm gonna do that as
I think it's a must watch for people. Yeah. Like, I think it's really really genuinely good, one of the best things like I've watched for a little while, to be in all honesty. Like, I really enjoyed it.
It's one of the most enjoyable.
I would hate to listen to this without seeing it and then be like, oh wow, I'm missing out on that whole like side of not knowing and then kind of wondering and then finding out. Like,
yeah, because we both watched this on that Curzon, like the home cinema thing. I'll put the link in the show notes, and you can also, I think in the US it's available on Amazon Prime, so you can watch it on there as well. I think that's, it might be free on there, I'm not too sure. But the one we watched it on, like the in the description, it basically said that there was something up about the bar, and like it was, they didn't want to spoil it there and then in like in the notes, so that's what kind of made me super intrigued by it. And
yeah,
they said there was like some kind of like game show kind of thing element to it, and I thought it was going to be, I don't know, it was going to start off as a dive bar thing and then turn into like, you know, them playing along to Jeopardy.
They were playing Jeopardy in it, though. Yeah. They were.
Which I thought was great. And well, there's one thing I was going to say earlier, that this doc kind of feels, you know, without the Trump stuff in it and without the TV, actually, no, with the TV stuff even, it almost feels timeless. It could literally be any time, like over the last couple of years, because even like what people were wearing kind of just seemed all over the place, didn't it? It's
well, I started like once I kind of realized, okay, something's up here, and then once they also said about once Michael had said that he was a failed actor, like it started me, I was like kind of whilst watching it trying to dissect different things. And then I kept having this thought that, oh, maybe, because they kept showing like old movies and stuff on the TV, like little, like just hints and clips to it. So I kept thinking to myself, oh, I wonder if that's the kind of thing that's like the thing that's awry, like they're showing like clips of Michael's old films and he's actually some like highly big actor from the past that we're going to find out about. Like, but that's what I kind of loved about it. It really made you guess. Like, it made you guess, like, because there's 100% a definite feeling that something isn't quite right. Something isn't quite as it seems, but you can't put your finger on exactly what it is.
I love the use of the TVs and stuff in this. I love when they would zoom in on a clip from a film, it would kind of play the noise from that. Mm-hmm. And like, you couldn't hear it before. And I thought that was really clever. And I also looked into the music of the film as well, because I thought the music, the soundtrack was brilliant, like overall. And I thought, how did they do this? Like, in terms of even, and so originally they were going to have it so there was going to be no music whatsoever in the bar, like in whilst they were filming it, because they said they, you know, for just sound reasons and stuff, it'd be a nightmare. But then the obviously people who were in it, they're like, you can't do that. You can't have a bar without music. So all the music and stuff and, in the doc/film is played there and then, so they like dance away, you know, listening to it and stuff. And it does make me kind of go back to our Catfish episode where there was like the fair use debate between,
yeah,
is it a documentary, is it a film, is it intentional. And I know that, like, according to some of the articles, I posted all the articles that I found anyway that I thought were interesting in the show notes. But there were some articles where they said that they paid for some of the songs, but they were kind of like a bit vague about certain things. I think the people who did have the job of securing the rights to the songs, it was like, I think the article said it was like sleepless nights for them, because it was basically kind of walking a tightrope between, is it a documentary, like fair use or not? And yeah, I thought that was interesting. Like overall, I thought it was really, really interesting overall. So, But yeah, I'm glad I watched it. I remember I wouldn't have thought anything of that this wasn't a documentary. I mean, it is a documentary as well, but then I don't know. I have mixed feelings about what to call it.
It definitely.
I think the social situations are real. It's just the packaging is kind of like false. And I think
there needs to be, and possibly it is out there, but there needs to be a bit more clarity and like an idea of, because there are some things that I do think the main thing is that guy that's like sort of kicking off a bit, like there is that I would think if you wanted to create this atmosphere of this bar, you can't have like a bar within its last night running without one guy kind of kicking off a bit. And, you know, because that is every bar you go to that happens, that's real. So there is a part of me that thinks that maybe the directors said to this guy, like, you know, we want you to just, you know, like kick off a little bit, nothing too much.
Apparently they didn't do any prompts whatsoever for anybody who was in it. They like literally just said like, yeah, you be the best you and that kind of stuff. And
well, maybe he did just get drunk. Maybe it was just him getting drunk and getting a bit too
merry. It makes sense because, you know, younger people do just drink crazy and stuff, have shots and whatnot. And the older people kind of like have been around too long to realize that, you know, it's not worth it ruining the night over like a fight because you're guaranteed to get thrown out and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Feel sorry for that guy who's like, who rocks up at the gym, like the Ira guy. And I guess he's kind of like fucked already. And
I kept looking for him to come back. Like when they said he'd got work and I was like, what the fuck?
What job does he have? Like,
yeah, I know. Jesus. Like, yeah.
It might have been like a plot device or whatever for the thing. But he just seemed fucked.
And this was early on as well. This wasn't like late in the day. Yeah, like this was the early stages.
Hmm.
But then he was properly fucked.
I mean, I guess he could have been like an alcoholic anyway. But
I'm sure that's a big possibility. If it isn't a plot device, whether he actually had work.
Yeah, and it does make you like wondering that in the thing, what would his work have been like? I don't know.
Yeah,
I just feel like,
and if you were
safe, hopefully, and like telling people
that's the thing. Like you would think that like, because it's funny, like you're watching it and you're kind of laughing, but also you're kind of like deep down you're like feeling a bit bad for this guy because you're like, shit, like is quite a mess. Like he doesn't realize that he's got to go to work and like this bar is obviously like a home away from home for him, which it is for a lot of them, but you know, he's absolutely fucking wasted like from the get-go. So you kind of have this level of feeling a bit sorry for him as well. But like, if that is real, like you've got to imagine that once he left that building, there were people there to be like, look, man, you can't just wander off now. Like that's where it's like, especially now knowing what I know, it makes you wonder about certain little bits within it, like, which is why it'd be great to watch it again, knowing this.
Yeah, that's one thing they did say. As I said earlier, that was one of the things where when they signed up for it, that they would get a taxi or they would get taken home and they would also have food to, you know, help them from not being like completely wrecked at the end. Like, you know, to take them out for food and stuff. But yeah, I don't know. Just I love that the Einstein guy was referred to as Einstein, like, because you could not see him unless maybe that was his name. Overall, I don't know. I didn't
know. That's genuinely like, you, I mean, if you knew that guy in real life and you were down the pub, you would be saying, "Oh, hi guys, this is my mate Einie, or this is my mate Einstein." Like,
yeah, but there'd be worse names to be called, wouldn't there? Like, you know, what's you know,
exactly
like literally the name of a genius and stuff. Like, I would lean into it, wouldn't you? Just like, you know, you get to that point, you think, nah, like, there's no point of calling that. Like, you know, telling them my name's Steve.
If you're going for that look that he's obviously going for an Einstein look. He's obviously been told at some point in his life, do you know what? If you had your hair a little longer and a little crazier, you'd look just like Albert Einstein. He's gone, do you know what? I'm going for it. I'm going for it. I'm living that dream.
Amazing. What do you think of the cake that they had? So there's like a cake at the end. I think it wasn't like
the one that they drop on the floor and then are eating off the road.
Oh, yeah. That was it. And like they had... What was on the cake? Was it like
something like this bar sucks or this bar sucked?
This bar sucked anyway or something, didn't it?
Yeah.
That was great. And I thought the scene where they're outside lighting fireworks and stuff was really cool.
Again though, like that aspect didn't like it looked like something from a movie. It looked like I said, Clerks earlier, but there were parts as well that kind of looked like a like something from like Boyhood or Until Midnight, until, you know, before
like a Richard Linklater like film.
Has that kind of like, and which again is also like the conversational aspect. You know, a lot of Linklater's films are
improv,
solely kind of improv conversation based. It could be two characters talking throughout a whole movie, but you're drawn in because the conversation is so deep. So I definitely like you could have told me, oh, this is a new Richard Linklater film, and I would have believed you, like, after watching this.
It's I don't know. I think it was, I thought it was a great film overall, and I'm glad I watched it. And I just, as you were, I was kind of glued to it the whole way through. I didn't stop, and I guess I did at one point where I was like, I need to. I just kind of googled it.
Google what is real.
I must not ruin this for myself. I think I just googled the name of the film, and all of a sudden it was like one of the first things that popped up. Then, is it real? And it was like, it's staged, not scripted, and that was a big deal about it. But then when I looked into it more and like watched some of the interviews that I watched with the directors, I thought, oh, that's interesting, because they're like, they make it out it's a film, and the filling of this film cake is a documentary slightly. You know, it's kind of like slightly guided in some places, but overall they've taken like the best of the best from like different dive bars, try to create the best Las Vegas dive bar experience, like, and they've just put all those characters into one petri dish and why wasn't I in the bar right now? And they've just like let them go wild and stuff. They filmed over 18 hours, and they've come out with this, and I loved it. I thought it was excellent. I could easily watch it again.
Same.
Yeah,
like, and really enjoyable. Definitely something like if you were having like a few mates over, like I said earlier, like we said with like American movie. It's one of them that you could just put on, people having a drink, having a laugh. Like, yeah. And I'd be really, really interested to see, like, what other people think of this. Like, because I can imagine there's a few, like, documentary diehards that would watch this, and then once they found out about how it was done, they'd probably maybe, like, have an issue with it. Being classed as a documentary at all, like whether that be in Sundance or anything like that. And I think, I don't know whether it matters. I think that's the difference. Like, there might be some people that think it does matter. And that's, you know, that's their prerogative. But I don't think it does matter. I think it's enjoyable to watch. I think that is the main thing you should take from it. And if you go into it and you're in full believability that everything is 100% genuine, and then you come out and you read that it's not, and that angers you, then, you know, I don't know what to say to that. You know, just enjoy things for enjoying them, like, I guess.
Yeah, and I mean, I must admit, I did debate whether we should do this, like, after I watched it, after I said, like, hey, let's do this one for, like, the next mm-hmm. doc. And after I watched it and kind of found out, like, the kind of the punchline of it, I did wonder, should we still do this? But then I realized, yeah, like, we should. Like, I enjoyed it. I like the conversation behind it. I think this is the perfect, you know, film to talk about in that way, because we touched on this a bit when we did our Catfish episode, like, a couple episodes back. But, yep. like, this is the perfect one to discuss that, because it is kind of like that super fine line between, yeah. you know, genuine, not genuine and stuff. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting is, on Rotten Tomatoes, the critics loved it. Like, mostly, I would say it was it, like, 94%? Like, I think when I checked earlier, it was 94%. They loved it. Wow. And same with it was, like, something like 60 or 70% for audience. But there was like one or two where it was like, oh, I'm sick of people. No, is it? Like, if it's not a documentary, why should it be classed as a documentary or something? But genuinely, all the critics said it, you know, it may be fake in some parts, it may be real in some parts, but it doesn't matter, because it's a really enjoyable film to watch.
Yeah, I think that's what you've got to take away from it. Like, if you go into something and you really enjoy it, and then you come out of it, read something about it, and that changes how you originally felt about it, then you know, you're letting too much sway your opinion. Like, you should, you know, you feel how you feel. Like, and if you come out of it having that enjoyment feeling, then that's what you should take away from it, whatever there is about it, I guess. Like, you shouldn't let other people's words sway your opinion on something. I mean, you could watch it and genuinely come out of it going, I thought that was trash. Like, I did not enjoy it at all. And again, that's if that's your genuine opinion of that, then fair dues. Like, no one can take that away from you. But if you let what someone else has written change your opinion, then, you know, you're possibly quite easily swayed.
Yeah, I agree. I guess in closing, I really enjoyed it. I thought I would highly recommend watching it. And I mean, if you're listening to this now, hopefully you've listened to the warning at the beginning of this podcast and not watched it before. No, you have watched it before.
Don't
like
let
listening
us ruin
to this.
It. Don't let us ruin it for you, like Google did, Ian. Don't let us be the Google of this world.
Don't. I hope you listened to the warning before and, like, seeked out, watched it, or just not listen to this episode. I'm not sure I'm going with this, but basically, yeah, I hope you.
It's 100%. If you think our opinion on this kind of stuff is worth anything, maybe you should put that as a kind of disclaimer at the start, like you know, like, seek it out, watch it. It's worth your while. 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. That's all for this episode. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again soon. I'm not sure when that'll be. Probably maybe next week. I'm not sure. ? But yeah. Thanks for listening. Matt, you got anything to add?
Stay cool, guys. In this cold weather.
Okay. All right. Anyway, thank you. Thanks for listening.
Take care. Bye. Bye-bye.